It's good to see everyone out this evening. It's been a beautiful day. I love having those doors open back there to see the outside, and it's nice to see we still have some daylight right now for a short time longer. So we have been studying on Sunday evenings Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is called the Classic Parable Collection. There are seven parables included in this chapter. Matthew records five different speech sections of Christ. This is one of those sections, and it's easy to tell where those sections are because it'll begin with, "And Jesus began to speak unto them," and it ends with, "And when he had finished saying these," and we know that those make nice little bookends on a section. In chapter 13, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat on, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. He sat and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So Jesus is presenting these seven parables to them. We've looked at the parable of the sower, the parable of wheat and tares. This evening, we are going to look at two of them together, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Again, just to review, parables are important truths conveyed in a memorable story. One of the most memorable parables of the Old Testament is when Nathan went to David and told him the story of the rich man and the poor man that had the little ewe. These are word pictures, and as Jesus is talking to the people, and as Matthew is writing to the Jews, these parables are talking about the kingdom of heaven, the church. Christ explained very few of the parables. Some, like the ones we're going to look at this evening, don't need much explanation. Part of his withholding the meaning was to show that some of the people were unworthy of receiving these teachings. And when we looked at the parable of the wicked husbandman, right before Christ died that last week when he went into Jerusalem, they knew that he was talking to them. And he was teaching in such a way that they couldn't say anything in response, because if they did, they would fear the crowd. So these are very, very important lessons for us to learn. And when we learn these, it is so much easier to talk to people about the church, the kingdom of God. And the parables are not limited to these chapters, but these are four of the major chapters in the New Testament that contain a collection of parables: Matthew 13, Matthew 25, Mark 4, and Luke 15. And as I said, I want to add this list, Matthew 13, to our memory work for next year, so we'll be able to just go right down and know from heart all the parables in that chapter and how to explain to people what the church is. Now, when we looked at the parable of the sower, we saw that that dealt with the hearts of potential kingdom citizens. There are four different kinds of hearts, and he focused on the hearts in that parable. When we looked at the tares and the wheat, or the wheat and the weeds, we saw that there are some counterfeit citizens in the kingdom. And he was telling his disciples with those, just leave them there. God is going to judge them in the end. You go and you try to pull those weeds out of the church, and you might disrupt and pull up some of the wheat. And again, he was not talking about where there are matters of sin involved. Jesus told us to deal with matters of sin, but these are some other areas where he said just leave it alone, and when Christ comes back with his angels are going to gather those out of the kingdom. The two that we are looking at this evening are very short. Really, these last four are very short parables. the leaven and the mustard seed are going to show the growth of the kingdom from the beginning, how it starts off small and how it grows. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." That's pretty easy to understand. Again, he's using very relatable things. Here's a picture of a hand holding some mustard seed, showing how small that is. And this mustard is different than the mustard that we see around here. We'll see mustard growing out in fields, this yellow plant that's so tall. This is what the mustard looked like in the area that we were talking about in the time. It would grow up like 5 to 10 feet tall, but it came from such a small beginning. So the growth of it, you know, was phenomenal. It was exponential. It started small and it grew greatly. He goes on with the next one in verse 33, and another parable he spoke to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leaven." All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. So with this leaven, and with parables too, we do not need to take every word and try to find some meaning to it, to associate it with it, or we might miss the overall picture of what he's trying to teach. I don't believe that the woman has any special point in this parable, or 3 measures of meal. I don't think we need to focus on 3 measures. But again, the lesson he's trying to get is this small substance brings about great growth. So these parables, the first one dealing with the hearts of the kingdom citizen, some of the counterfeit citizens in the kingdom, and these are talking about the growth of the kingdom. And you think about how did it begin? Well, it began on the day of Pentecost. It began with the 12 apostles. And in Acts, we read, you know, where it was going to begin there and then spread out through Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And that was accomplished in a very quick time when men from all nations came to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Then 50 days later on Pentecost, when the church was established, they were there. And then over time, when there was persecution that arose and they went back to their homeland, they took the gospel with them. So the gospel went into all the world in a very short time. And someone, you can prove whatever you want to with numbers, but somebody will say, look at how many were saved on the day of Pentecost. There were 3,000 souls that were saved. Well, 3,000 out of how many? We don't know what percentage that was. And then some will say the Jerusalem church was a very big, large church. Again, we got to be careful. We don't say more than what the Bible says, because when everybody went back to their home countries, we do not know how many remained in Jerusalem. But even you consider, what did the church begin with? It began with 12 men. 12 plain, common, ordinary men. And then it grew. And it's over the face of the whole world now. The gospel has gone to everyone. And it will continue to grow. So the gospel grows in a couple of different senses. When we are baptized, we are babes, and then we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And hopefully, we can look back on our life and see how much we have grown from the time we have been baptized. If we haven't been growing, it's It's not the fault of the gospel. The fault lies with us. But the kingdom grows. And then as we grow and we share the gospel, it spreads more. So these two parables are talking about the small beginning of the kingdom. But it's going to fill the earth completely. This is going to be the kingdom. Remember the prophecies from the Old Testament going through the different kingdoms. And back to Psalm 2, just remember, gone with the wind. All those nations are going to be gone. And we are part of that everlasting kingdom, that kingdom that will never be shaken, that kingdom that is going to stand forever. And how did it begin? It began with a very small beginning. So with that too, the Jews were not looking for something like that. They were looking for something big, something dramatic that was going to come in, get everybody's attention. But Jesus uses these two simple parables showing the effect of a small seed growing into a large tree, showing the effect of leaven being mixed in and producing more than what it was as this is mixed in. And the people missed this. They misunderstood it. They missed who Jesus was because of his small, insignificant beginning. Luke 2, 11 and 12. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And again, Jesus' name, Jesus means Savior. Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They were expecting the king, their king, to come in some great way. Jesus didn't come that way. They missed the king because of his humble beginnings. The Jews would also miss the kingdom for the same reason. They were looking for an earthly kingdom, one large enough and powerful enough to defeat the Roman Empire. In Mark 6, verses 2 and 3, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. See, they were looking for some big, great, important person. They were looking for someone that was going to ride into Jerusalem on a white stallion, not on a donkey. The Jews would miss him. They were looking for a kingdom made up of something so much bigger than just a few ordinary men. In John chapter 6 and verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So these beginnings and the growth of the kingdom, they wanted a king. They were looking for something big. But the kingdom isn't going to be like that. It's going to start small. It's going to grow bigger and bigger. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is my kingdom not from hence. So again, starting with a small seed, and it grew. You think about some of the churches that were started, and one that comes to mind is the church at Philippi. And how was that church started? It was started with Lydia and her household, and the jailer and his household. And it grew. And we are still talking about the church at Philippi today. It has been an inspiration for centuries. Men like big, extravagant beginnings, but it's not so with God. God can take a small beginning and make it great. Little is much when God is in it. Each small cell makes a powerful body. You think about this. Our body is composed of cells. What's one little cell? It's not much, but you put them all together and we have this amazing body. So the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. Leaven or yeast. That's an element used in making bread. I don't want to read too much into this woman or the number of measures. I don't believe there's significance in that, but the significance is in the growth of it. And this parable simply means that when we take the gospel truth and plant it in the heart, it will leaven the life of that individual. The gospel, it will fill up that person. It'll change that person completely. It permeates throughout that loaf of bread. It should permeate throughout the Christian. And it shouldn't just stop with us. It should keep oozing out to all of those that we come in contact with. Leaven, it's an active working principle. When we were talking this morning about Moses and all the excuses that Moses was making, he came up excuse after excuse, suppose this, suppose that, suppose this, and I can't do this and I can't do that. And we saw that God wanted him to understand that he had a job for him to do. And Moses was the agent, he was the instrument. And it was going to be God who is doing the working. And with us as Christians today, we are the instrument. We are the agent. God is going to be working through us. And he can use something small and insignificant like me. But if I have his word in my heart, that light, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. When I put this light in my heart and go out into the dark world, people are going to see that. That's the influence of the gospel. It's going to grow. And when you think about something spreading, something can spread positively or it can spread negatively. You take optimism and it can spread and infect, fill up everybody. You can take negativity, and it can infect and spread and fill up everybody. You take lukewarmness. Lukewarmness can destroy a whole church. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire. He wants us to have zeal and devotion. He wants us to commit our lives to him 100%. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But it all begins with this little seed. So do we consider leaven for good or evil? We've got to understand it's a principle. And whichever way we consider it, that is the way it is going to be. So the theme of these parables, it's the growth of the kingdom. How does it grow? It's characterized by an inner influence. This leaven makes the bread rise. And a lot of times in the New Testament, leaven is used in a negative sense. Again, it's a principle. Leaven is often used to illustrate evil. Luke 12:1, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You see, a little bit of hypocrisy is going to spread. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5:6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So again, this leaven is it's an agent, but it's a principle. It's going to work for good or evil, depending on how we apply it. We've got to understand small things grow into great things. What's the purpose of leaven? The purpose is to transform that dough into something else. You don't want to take a lump of dough and put leaven on top and you don't want it to stay like that. You want it to transform it. You want to change it. And look at how the gospel changed Paul's life. It took Saul, who was persecuting the Lord's church, who was getting letters to take men and women out of their house, even have them put to death, and it changed his life to where he saw that Jesus was his Lord, and he was a debtor. He was a debtor the rest of his life to share the gospel with everybody else. That made a great change in Saul's life. Is the gospel making a change in our life? We've got to understand that's the purpose of leaven, is to transform things in our life and in others. How does it work? It works slowly. It's a gradual process. And leaven works particle by particle. It works on whatever it comes into contact with. It's not like a volcano that's loud and erupts and spews everywhere. Leaven is silent. It's a continual process. Sometimes when we're teaching people, we become impatient. And we think, why can't they understand what I'm trying to tell them? Why can't they understand what the Bible is saying? But it's slow, it's gradual, it's continual. But with this, you think about bread. If you're making a loaf of bread, you have to add the leaven. You have to add the leaven into someone's heart. We have to be actively planting that leaven, planting the gospel in someone's heart, or it's not going to do any good. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Again, how are they going to get the gospel? We are the agents that Christ is using to take the gospel and to share with others. So leaven works quietly. It doesn't make a big commotion or display as it spreads. It just goes about doing its job. I mention every so often I'll make some muffins and make this recipe. Or several years ago, I bought a bread maker and put all of those elements in there, and it makes a little sound. But you know, when you see that lump of dough down in there, if I go into the other room, I don't hear this banging sound and like an explosion going off. I go back later and it has worked, and that has risen and filled up that container. Our influence doesn't need to be big and loud. We just need to be consistent, planting the gospel in someone's heart. Leaven is like compound interest. It keeps multiplying. Acts 5:14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Acts 6:1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. But the number of the disciples was multiplied. Acts 6:7, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The more Christians we have, the more we ought to have. We just need to keep growing. But we've got to understand that leaven must make contact. If I've got the dough here and the leaven over here, this isn't going to have any effect on this until they come into contact. And we aren't going to have effect on the world until we come in contact with the people in the world and implant, put that leaven in their hearts. You think about the Jews. The Jews thought, we're it. We're God's chosen people. And again, back to the parable of the wicked husbandman Jesus talking about the stone being rejected, and these stones are going to come down and crush the person that went against that stone and the destruction of Jerusalem. God was saying, uh-uh, you aren't going to be my chosen people anymore. The Gentiles, I'm going to send the gospel to the Gentiles. And Jesus said in John 10:16, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall hear my voice. So each Christian is to be a leavening agent. We don't need to use gimmicks or schemes to influence people. We just use the word of God. We need to consider the influence of Paul, consider the influence of Christ, consider the influence of the gospel. And we've got to consider our influence. What are we doing to influence people? With these two parables, and again, they're very short, very simple, but small things grow into great things. I heard a speaker years and years and years ago, and he was a business speaker, and he had a lot of these laws and principles, and one of them was the law of accumulation. He said, you do small things over and over, and it's going to accumulate into something big. And I never forgot this illustration. He said, you take a snowflake. A little snowflake comes down, and it's not much at all. You take another snowflake. It comes down. It's not much at all either. All of these individual snowflakes keep coming down, and you start getting some snow. They keep coming down more and more. And then you add these other things and you can end up with a blizzard and 6 feet of snow. But it's all made up of individual little snowflakes. The law of accumulation. You think about time. You think about time. We think about doing big things with our time. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to accomplish that. And people will waste so much of their time talking about what they're going to do instead of being busy every second and every minute of every day. But you take what's our life made up of? Well, it's made up of seconds. It's made up of seconds, and those seconds make up minutes, and those minutes make up hours, and those hours make up days, and those days make up our lifetime. You see the principle of leaven, of the mustard seed. Little things grow into big things. And we need to look at the little things. We need to look at how we spend our days, how we spend our hours, how we spend our minutes. And if we are letting the world distract us, we are not going to be accomplishing what we can accomplish otherwise. Think about this. The Lord keeps a record of and will reward us for the little things that we do. If we give a cup of water to somebody, if we speak to somebody, if we help somebody. And you can see some people sometimes, there will be somebody over here in need, but if they help this person, they aren't going to get a pat on the back or any recognition. But over here, here's some organized group or something, and give to us, and you know, we'll tell everybody all the good you did, and we'll let everybody know. God's going to keep a record of the small things that we do, the things that nobody else knows, and He's going to reward us for those things. He's going to reward us in two ways. If we spend our time doing good things, He's going to reward us with eternal life. If we spend those minutes, those seconds, those hours, those days doing things that are not going to bring glory to God, He's going to reward us also, but with eternal death. Consider the church is built up or torn down by little things. It's everything starts small and it gets big. And you can look at a church split. You can look at somebody leaving the church. You can look at a problem in a church or the home. And you say, well, how did that happen? You can trace it back to it started with this and then something else. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. They may have stopped something as simple as stopped preaching on something. And then there's silence. And then something else comes in and somebody brings in an idea or in a family. But in the church, it's either built up or torn down by little things. You think about this. The reward of the righteous will be as much greater than their deeds as the mustard plant is greater than the mustard seed. So think about that. This little seed that grows into this big tree. This leaven that is added that makes this big loaf. The reward of the righteous will be as much greater than their deeds as the mustard plant is greater than the mustard seed. It's the little things that God is going to judge us on. And He isn't going to reward us with just a little. He is going to reward us with things unimaginable. It's going to be beyond words that we can express. It's this law, it's this principle, this law of accumulation, this law of rewards, and it's the little things. So we need to be mindful how we order our days. These two simple parables here, talking about the growth of the church, how it starts small, it's going to grow big. And again, these are two parables Jesus did not need to explain. Everybody could understand it. It's so common. It's so common. There are some of the parables that Jesus would explain to his disciples, but not explain to everyone else. Again, it was not the time for them to know, or they did not have the heart to receive it. And you think about, since we're talking about Matthew 13 and parables, some of Jesus' teaching was in this storytelling style, and some of it was just plain and clear. He may have used figurative language, but you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and he used illustrations, but you could understand what he was talking about, the two trees, the two builders, the two ways. But then when he talked about the judgment, they understood when he said, everybody's going to come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and do that in your name? And he said, I'm going to say, depart from you, you who practice iniquity, you who practice lawlessness. He made it very, very plain. So some of the things about the kingdom are very plain. Some things don't need explanation. Some things we need to dig a little bit deeper. One of the things that he made it very plain about the kingdom, and it wasn't in a parable, it was very plain and direct, was when he was talking to Nicodemus. And he said, you must be born again. If you want to be in the kingdom, you must be born again. And I think he tells him about three times, you must be born again. And he was talking about baptism, being born of the water and of the Spirit. And how can people miss that? They miss that because they do not want to submit their heart to God. They want to do it their way. And their way is going to lead to the way of destruction. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.